How to Mend a Broken Heart by Anna Mansell and read by Colleen Prendergast for Saga Egmont. Prologue. Sun scorches my skin. There's no breeze, no respite, just the comforting discomfort of prickling pain. Heat-softened tarmac warms my body. I'm alive. Despite this and some discomfort, I found a strange kind of peace. Peace amongst the rising panic in the voices around me. Peace amongst the rumble of queuing cars, engines running on standstill, the buses, the immaculate Chelsea tractors, Sheffield's buzzing suburbia brought to a dramatic standstill. Yummy mummies leave the coffee shop, passing my vacated table, with spent coffee cup now stained with froth and sprinkled chocolate. Their necks crane as they push bugaboos by the scene. Chubby hands reach for tiny, sockless toes, and something, somewhere, deep in my subconscious, recalls a feeling, a past. I stare at the endless denim-blue sky. There's a whisper of cloud in the distance. A plane dawdles its vapour trail from east to west. A face obscures my view. Hello? Rough, sweaty hands cup my face. It's a man wearing the green shirt and trousers of a paramedic. Can you hear me? I'm John. I'm here to help you. His eyes seek mine for a response. Beads of sweat form across his forehead. He wipes them with his arm. His shirt soaks up the dew. Can you tell me your name? Can you tell me what happened? But I can't tell him. Or I won't tell him. Because, really, what's the point? I close my eyes and dream of a grim tale without the Disney ending. Apparently this summer's going to be a long one, like 1976. I suppose it would have been a shame to miss it. Chapter 1. Cat. So the only other thing to tell you about is Susan. Susan? I reach for my tea, wishing I hadn't let it go past the point of perfect to drink. I hate lukewarm tea. It's unnecessary. An affront. A crime against hot drinks. It's also possible I overthink it. Susan Smith, female, 56, had an argument with a bus down Eccles Hall Road and lost. I frown, pushing my new glasses back up my nose. They feel heavy on my face, out of place. I probably shouldn't have been talked into them by the Gok Wan look-alike assistant at the optician. New hair, new glasses, a new wardrobe at home with every item still carrying the price tag. Belts to accentuate my waist, also Gok's fault, the real one. Can you have a midlife crisis at the age of 28? These are great, by the way, says Emma, circling the air in the general direction of my face. Trey, geek chic. Yes, that's me. Geek and indeed chic, I say, fiddling with him again. I can hear my tone. It's definitely approaching grumpy, yet I don't have the strength to buck my ideas up. Emma adopts a bad Irish accent. You remind me of a young Nana Muscuri. A who? Greece's finest export, she exclaims. Well, Nana and Feta. The blank look I give her in response forces an optimistic nod of encouragement, as if that answers everything, then a swift roll of her eyes when she realises I've no idea. Come on, misery. If we didn't laugh, we'd cry, she goads, followed swiftly by. You don't have to be mad to work here. Don't, I say, my hands shielding my ears, stopping her before she can finish. There's a pause in our chat, a pause filled with the warmth of a friendship that can transcend my mood. I crack a half-smile. She's someone I need right now. She gets me. I drain my mug, lukewarm is better than none at all, and place it back on the table, waiting for Emma to finish our holiday handover while I resist a second biscuit. It's barely 9 a.m. So, Susan Smith then, she continues. She was in with that new consultant in charge. Ooh, Mr. Just Call Me Mark Barnes, says a bank nurse, pushing laundry past our station, dirty bedsheets overflowing. I wouldn't mind being in with him, she says, gurning like Vic Reeves minus a thigh rub. Leg brace and everything, Emma shouts after her with a giggle and a snort. Leg brace and everything, I repeat, shaking my head. That doesn't even make sense, Emma. I thought this was Sheffield's...